If you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. How are you today? We're going to pray again in just a second because still got people traveling, people out of town, people spread out all over the place. So let's pray for them right now. Lord, those of our number that are still with family and still traveling, Lord, we pray your traveling mercy upon them. God, I pray that even as we're away from each other, Lord, that you will quicken our hearts. That, Lord, as we look forward to this new year together, 2016. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day and the blessing of this fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to thank all of you that helped us with all the things that December's kind of a blur now. All the things happened, all the things the live nativity, the plays, all the special things that went on. God bless you. I mean, what you did, your contribution did not go unnoticed. Because it takes all of us to do all of these things. And I know some of you had some long days. And we bless you because of that. I don't know about that. Also today, David Strickland, the elder, reminded me that today, 1966, was the first time they had public services, first Sunday of January, in this building, the Old Tabernacle Baptist Church. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. All right. What's New Year going to be like for you? As you look at the things that are going to be important to you, be easy to get excited for the first week or two about some resolutions you make. And we're going to address some of that at the 11 o'clock service today, but I'm going to zero in on one item today that for me makes all other things pale into insignificance when you compare this one thing that I believe Christians need to know how to do today in the world in which we live. This is not your father's Oldsmobile kind of world, is it? Let me ask you, is today's world, look at the headline. Look at the headline today. Let's go back 20 years, headline 20 years ago, headline 40 years ago. I mean, even farther back, look, could you have imagined what things are like right now? There's no way I can wrap my mind around it. Most recent thing, you probably saw this weekend. Saudis executed 47, what they call radicals. Probably, I imagine most of them were Shias, since Saudis are Sunnis. Sunnis are about 78% of the Muslim population in the world. Shias is the other part to that. Iran is what the Shias are. And so there's a stout difference between, you remember the war with Iraq and Iran, and a lot of that had a religious root to it. And by the way, if you've checked out on this stuff and say, well, I'm just not going to pay attention to the news, I'm not going to, then you are an ignoramus. You've got to pay attention. You've got to know what's going on. You've got to read the news. That's your responsibility as a believer in Christ, to know what's going on. and know how these things impact the world. And not just at the standard news outlets, but one of those that was executed was this cleric, and this guy, I can't even pronounce, Shamir al-Shamir. He is, and that's gotten everybody. He's the one that they're showing his, they've got those posters with his picture on, and if the Saudi regime topples, boy, you talk about another big change in the world and a change for us here. We don't live in that world anymore where you can something can happen on the other side of the planet and not affect us. So, in the middle of all that, in the middle of all that stuff that's going on, what is important for us as believers in Jesus? We have the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Great Commission, go into all the world, preach, teach, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's irrevocable. That is a commission given to us by our Lord. And you know, and then you know, we see before, right before he ascends, that you know, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. And he reiterates it. I mean, that great commission. But then you also have the great commandment, which is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And we're sandwiched in between those to worship him, to love him. And right in the middle of that is what I'm pointing out, and not necessarily a subset of that, but maybe something that the overarching thing over all that, we must listen to God's voice and practice at hearing his voice. And not second hand, but first hand. Now, is it important to know how to hear God's voice? That God is speaking? Let me give you an example. Just on the Great Commission side of life. Very good example. How many billion people are there on the face of the planet today? 6, 7? Somewhere in that neighborhood? Okay. All right. We've been commanded to, as you go into the world, to preach, teach, and baptize, which ones? You say all of them. Okay, don't get super spiritual on me here. All of them, no, you can't. You can't do that. You can't address that. So, to whom has God sent you? And to whom and who is being sent to you? You're sent, and they're sent to you. It's a both and, but it's still part of the of God working and speaking specifically. You reckon it's important today that a believer in North Korea to know how to hear God's voice? How about one in China? How about one in Iran? Is it important that you hear God's voice? Are we going to have our meeting today with our little house church? Is it going to be at this house or this house? Is that an important decision? We got up this morning. We didn't even think about it, did we? We just traipsed on down here. I start out to go other places, but you know, I get in my car and it starts down Victory Drive. coming over here and then get to jog over to 52nd Street, you know. But did we even have to think about that? Do those believers have to think about that? They have to think about it every day. They have to think about everything that they do. Because it's important. Because it becomes a life and death decision for them. We want to dramatize where we are. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the planet. There is no doubt about that. There is no place where there is more freedom. There is no place where there is greater access that you can do these things that where your freedoms are protected and not just on paper. I mean, there are a few countries around the world that have pretty good looking constitutions. I mean, I've read parts of them. Pretty good looking constitution, but that's not the way it works out in life, because they have a weak part of another part. But the system that is in place here is one that the Lord has used as a platform for the gospel to go to the world. But even in our country, things are changing. We need to know, be able to discern hearing God's voice. Now, that means we need to have a time where we can put into doing that specifically and then be open to hear His voice for the balance of the day, to have a life and a lifestyle. I believe our world, even in our nation, is past that time where we can have, well, you got to get your daily quiet time in. And if you just do that, God is just going to bless you the rest of the day. And the tacit understand the conclusion that evangelicals in America draw from that is, well, if I just do this, if I just give God 10 minutes here, then the balance of the time I can do whatever I want to do. Wrong. We're living in a time where we've got to be listening to His voice, where His word has got to permeate our lives, what we do. So, with that bit of introduction, I hope I've set this up well enough for you so you can hear this today. Somebody read verses 5 through 8. If you haven't, somebody have the New Living Translation? Can I get a witness on that? New Living, you got it? All right, verse 5 through 8. Stand up there. 5 through 8. Okay, let's hear it from either the ESV or the New American Standard. You have one of those? Do you know which version you have? Or are you changing on your electronic device? Am I confusing you? New American Standard, ESV? NIV a bit, that'd be okay. All right, now let's look at what it's saying. So what is it saying there? Why would I choose these four verses to talk about listening to God, hearing God's voice? What's in there that speaks to that subject? Asking and believing, talks about doubting. What else? Let's look at it. If you lack wisdom, ask God. So, what we start out with is we got to tell the truth about what we don't know. You know, it's kind of the same thing. A person never gets saved until he gets lost, does he? The Lord, He's not going to save someone that doesn't realize He's lost, because He, like the, you know, with the prodigal son, what had to happen before he could come home? What's the phrase? He came to himself. What does that mean? He looked around. He took inventory. I'm living with pigs. And I'm a Jew. And not only am I living with them, I'm eating what they're eating. There's inventory. Taking inventory. taking inventory on life. Now, how many of you have been cleaning so far in your house and in your office and in your car? And in your... Raise your hand. Or do you need to put up both of your hands? I tell you, it's so bad at our house, even I'm cleaning. And he wasn't even asked. And we were looking for another agenda, another motivation, and it wasn't there. It just happened. I mean, John got in the spirit of it. If you lack wisdom, what do you lack wisdom about? What do you need to be hearing God's voice about in your life? Right now. Anything? Let's name a few. That's good work. You summarize the whole passage. Because he comes back to that, you know, at the end, verse 8. Very good, Beck. I mean, that's a linear passage. And you think very linear. It goes from dot to dot to dot to dot. It goes to the next thing. So if you're lacking wisdom and you're not seeking God, then what or who is filling that vacuum? What's fear mean? F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. Running with a plan. Well, whose plan is it? Very good, Daniel. Very good. And then when we say, I remember saying this one time in my life, well, I don't feel the devil working in my life very much, and he's not omnipresent. So what does that mean he's concluded about me? not worth telling, because he's already... I'm already heading the direction he wants me to go. It's time and material to him because he's not omnipresent. Is that too obvious a point? So he's got to, you know, hey, I'll spend my time on somebody else. You know, why? And let me stop. I don't recommend many books. And let me tell you why I don't recommend many books. Because I always get burnt on them. Somebody will come up and say, well, you know, it said in this chapter, I'm not vouchsafing for the whole everything the guy or gal says in there. I'm just saying you ought to read it. Expand a little bit. But here's one, C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters. If you hadn't read it, get it on your list. If you want to begin to hear God's voice and integrate your life with his battle plan. Here's the part that has been missing in discipleship for decades and decades. Everyday garden variety warfare. You have the evangelicals, and you know, give you a little history lesson in theology. You have the evangelicals post World War II, who come in. You know, it's evangelism. We're gonna raise up these disciples. Yada yada yada. Do all that. We never really talk about the devil. Never really talk about dealing with. We talk about evil. We talk about the sins of the flesh. We really never address the evil one. Then over here, the hyper charismatic. Who everything is a demon. You know, it's all about the devil, and we're going to talk about the devil so much that we never get to talk about Jesus. It's way over here. I've got books on my shelf that are in both of those. Where's the Bible on this? Right here, it's all the above. It's all the above. We've got to realize it's a battle. That's why another guy I recommend to you, his books, Neil T. Anderson. evangelical who thoroughly understands the battle. He has at crosswalk.com. Y'all on crosswalk.com, you ever go there? Anybody? Who knows what I'm talking about? All right, four of us. Rest of you need to go there. Crosswalk.com. It truly is a crossroads. All kinds of Christian news and information. You can go there, and there are all sorts of devotionals that you can sign up for there. You can have one sent to your phone. You have one sent to your computer. You know, that kind of thing. But Neil T. Anderson, his is there. That's Neil, N-E-I-L, T. Anderson. But it is a battle. And as James is talking about this, he's assuming we realize it's a battle. The person, let's read it again. We'll walk through it. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So we're asking. We realize we lack. We're asking God. He will give generously. What does that mean? That means he will speak to us generously. How does he speak? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. And without reproach. And it will be given to him. There's a promise. But he must ask in faith without doubting. In other words, just take God at his word. Jack Deere, another guy I'll recommend to you. And man, I just listened to, you can YouTube him. He's got some great messages on just hearing the voice of God and acting on it. We must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Do you ever feel like on some issues, like you're just like this? You're just rocking back and forth? Well, the answer is we need to get back before the tossing and hear the voice of God. What is he saying? And it's not complicated. That doesn't mean it's always going to feel right to me. Ooh. Listen to me closely. Because if we're waiting for it always to feel right, then we have let our feelings supersede the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Are your feelings always right? I ought to answer the question right there. Boy, I came in a couple of weeks ago. I just knew that Logan had borrowed something. I use the word borrowed very loosely. He had borrowed something from me without, and I needed it. And man, I was just about to call him. He was at college, but he needed to have a piece of my mind right then. I mean, I felt it. I felt the anger. And then I found the item I was looking for. And guess where it was? Right where I had hidden it from myself. So if I'm going to be consistent in that, then I should turn that disappointment and that anger back in this direction. Can't trust feelings. That's that old fact, faith, feeling train. Remember that? I've shown you that so many times. Just remember that. I mean, that was the genius of, Founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Bill Bright, thank you. It takes Audrey and I to make one brand. There you go, John. Thank you very much. And occasionally, John has to help both of us. fact, faith, feeling, train. You know, the You know, fact is, God's word, God's plan, I can't read that. You're a child of God in faith. You put the faith in the coal car, faith in that. It runs the train. The caboose, what does a caboose do? That's the feeling. When you're going down a hill, it feels great. You got extra momentum. Woo! It's like one of those worship services, you know. Everybody around you there in the spirit, man. Woo! Man, you're just going to town, man. It's great, man. We're going to take the world, you know, at least by tomorrow afternoon, 3 billion of them are going to be saved, you know. We're going. But then you reach the bottom of that thing, you know. And then you start going up. And what does that caboose become then? Pure dead weight. Have you ever ridden a bicycle built for two? And the person behind you? After about half a mile, you say, man, I just feel like we're on a flat grade, but this thing's getting harder. And you look back there, they're propped up. Know what I'm talking about? Okay. Hearing God's voice. We've got to believe it's not always going to feel like it. Verse 7, for that man ought not to expect he will receive anything from the Lord, one that's double-minded, being double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And let me tell you, it's nothing like the circumstances of the days in which we live to expose that we're not listening to the voice of God. And here's a few things I want to rattle off to you. You can get these. If you're writing some of this down, making some notes, here's some things to put in those notes. God does want you to hear His voice. Regardless of what the evil one is whispering in your ear, the Lord wants you to hear His voice. He's counting on you to hear His voice. Second thing. God is always speaking, isn't He? Here's a question. Am I listening? Because if I'm not listening to Him as He's wanting me to be obedient to Him, His voice then in my disobedience is what? Come back home. So He's always speaking. Now be easy, especially in some of the caricatures that we have developed in Christendom today, to say, God didn't speak to me. And what we're meaning by that, most of us, what the truth of it is, he doesn't speak to me like that. Give me an example in my own life. Prayer, for me, I'm a circular thinker, but it's great in mathematics, which is an anomaly. I'd go to these conferences, these studies, and they'd get the little prayer notebook out. Okay, now today, it's Sunday. On this day, we're going to pray for these things. Turn the page. Tuesday, we're going to pray for these things. That is comfort and a great guide for part of the population. In fact, probably the majority of people. In fact, for all the S personalities, that's probably a really, really good thing that is out there. But for the high personalities, that's a frustrating experience because it never fits in that box. And then, so realizing years later that I didn't have to fit in a man's description of what discipleship ought to be was a very freeing thing to me. So I could hear from the Lord, and I could begin to hear His voice, and it wouldn't necessarily have to fit bump, 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 bump like that. See, it's both and. It's not either or. Those are just different personalities. And allowing for that, but to say, God is speaking to us. Are we listening? It'd be easy to say, well, I don't have the same experience as this person over here. Well, I hope not. I hope not. I hope God is bringing other experiences to you. The point is He speaking? Yes, He is. Am I listening? Am I hearing it? Third thing, listening to God is not an optional experience that you can pick up and lay down. And Beck, I do believe that what you said a while ago, that the Lord is looking at us, is expecting us who hear His voice to act on what we hear. You know, in Hebrew thought, to think like the Hebrews did, you couldn't separate hearing and obedience. One assumed the other. It's only until we got to Western thought that we could separate those things. You know, to the height of it, like in marriage, let me see if I can get this quote right. Where the Romans could say, I have the, you know, this is the way they looked at women. The Roman intelligentsia, the elite of Roman society. We have the prostitutes for our pleasure. We have the concubines for our daily cohabitation. And we have our wives to bear children. Is that not just an utter destruction of God's intention for a relationship between a man and a woman? But you see, when you go to that, when you can separate, well, this is what I believe here, but this is my action over here. You know, we've talked in the past about the Gnostics. Which the root of that word is those who know, those who think they know. That was one of their things. They were separating. Well, this is where we live in the sinful life, and when you're in this sinful life, you're going to kind of live the sinful life. But we have our spiritual life that's elevated up over here, and we can have this kind of esoteric experience with the Lord over here, and it doesn't have anything to do with that over here. Let me tell you, that's a lot better description of where American Christians are than anything else that's going on right now, isn't it? That separation too. According to this, listening and being obedient to His Word is not an option. Finally, God speaks in a variety of ways. Here's some of the ways that He speaks. And I'm not going to cover all of them. He speaks through the Bible. Everybody that I've ever known that started treating this not as the complete Word of God, eventually, give them a little time, their lives showed it. You know, if you have the spot theory of inspiration, you know, it's inspired in spots. I mean, that's what Thomas Jefferson had. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He cut out, you know, his great Bible. He had cut out portions that he didn't believe belonged in there. You didn't know that? Great thinker, great mind in a lot of ways. You know, deists believe that God wound up the universe way back here and then released it. And so it's kind of going on its own. We didn't have any working of the Lord. This book is true. It has maintained its integrity, hasn't it? It's been maligned, but here it's as applicable today as it's ever been. I could go on that, but I'll stop there. There's also, and these are not necessarily in the order, or other than, you know, hearing the Word of God. And as I say that about the Word of God, we have been given the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, and He baptizes us. He immerses us in Himself. So that when we read this Word, it isn't just words on a page, it comes alive. I'll give you an excellent example of that. How many times did you have to read John 3:16 before you understood all of it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times did God reveal things to you about that verse over the years in your Christian life? Is He done yet? There's the point. Passages you've memorized. And of course, that's a real good thing for memorizing the Word, is that you can come back to that and He can speak to you through that passage. And sometimes we're just not ready to hear something at that time. Let me give you an example from mine and Audrey's own life right now, real, up close, and personal. I have dealt with hospitals, nursing homes, people being ill, situations in families, all that stuff, all my adult life. I started when I was a teenager. I had my first staff position at a church when I was 18 years old. I'm 61. Thank you, Daniel. I can always count on you, brother. Humility. But you know what? Boy, have we learned a lot in the last year about all that. You know, I would have told you several years ago, yeah, I understand that a good bit. And I'd have been an idiot saying that. That's right, because I didn't know jack squat about it, to be honest with you. We're living it. Does that mean we understand it and know what that means? As I'm saying, okay, Lord, what's the next thing You want us to be learning through this? You see, God wants to do that through His Word with us, for us to be open and not close the door. Okay, quickly. He speaks through people in our lives. People that come into our lives. Where would Paul have been without Barnabas? Boy, where would King David have been without Nathan? I mean, think. Just a few examples. He speaks through angels. We've seen that and been reminded of that. Sometimes we are entertaining angels unawares in our lives. He speaks audibly, does He not? We have that recorded in Scripture. I've not heard Him speak audibly, but both Francis Schaeffer and Peter Marshall, both two guys that I have a lot of respect for their integrity, both give evidence that they heard the audible voice of God. He speaks through His presence. The presence of God for Gideon, when he has that experience, you know, when the Lord comes to him and speaks to him there in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. Remember when he goes back to get the offering and he puts it there on the rock, and the fire comes up and consumes it. You know, the presence of God just overwhelms Gideon at that point. He speaks through circumstances that are very, but we got to be careful about circumstances. Remember, all this has to go back and go through the filter of His Word and how the Spirit reveals Himself to us. He speaks to our spirit. Which is that inner voice that we know we have heard from the Lord. And there are a lot more things about that I'd like to say today. But just knowing when He puts a phrase on your heart that's not language you would use. When you're praying and suddenly, you know, you're asking God for a word, and you realize one of our things that we do here, try to do on a regular basis, when someone comes for prayer, in public service, we do this in our life groups and privately and all that, and say, okay, I want prayer for this. One of the habits we try to get into is, before we embark on a prayer, is let's listen and see what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because a prayer request means that God's just brought this forward. Does that mean we really know what we need to be praying about? All I know, when my big toe hurts and something's been dropped on it, all I know right then is my big toe hurts, make it stop, right? And a lot of our prayers are like that. But sometimes God, you know, He wants to go back a step. What caused your big toe to be hurting? Or a step or two? A lot more I'd like to say about that, but... I think you catch that. And learn to know when it's God speaking to you and when it's not. When you're being manipulated by your own thoughts and when it's not. And the only way that I know to do that is to practice. And to practice with other people in your life that you know you can trust, that are not going to take advantage of you. Not going to put you in a manipulative situation. But to know you've heard from the Lord and allow for people to do that in the manifold ways that He wants to do it. And not just in a manner, you know, some of us just have habits in prayer that we do. And that's what they are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if God's going to speak to me, that my body's got to be in that position. Some of you, you know, you just like to get out on your face. Do that. Some of you on your knees. But does that mean God's limited to those? I feel like I'm shooting with a shotgun today. I guess I am. Let's go back to the main thing for today. Main thing for today that I'm challenging to do this year, 2016. Is to listen and be obedient to God's voice. And to begin to do that, you got to practice more than you're doing now. For all of us to get better at it. And we need each other, don't we? As God speaks through us as a body. We're one body fitly joined together. Makes sense. All right. Everybody wake up. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Has God spoken to you today? Spoken to me. Now, Lord, we give you this. The part that has nothing to do with you, let it fall to the ground. But everything, Lord, that's according to your word today, let it live and be remembered today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're through singing now. See you back at 11:00.